Welcome to Thoroughly Equipped. Today I'd like to ask you the question, what would you do if God were to say to you, is this right? Is what you are doing right now right? In our text today, we are going to find God doing just that to Jonah, and not the first time. This is the second time that God will ask Jonah this question. And so as we focus in on the very end, as we wrap up the book of Jonah today, keep that in mind and think about how would you respond to God if God were to say to you, what you're doing right now, is it right?
This is Thoroughly Equipped, drawing water from the wells of salvation, a weekly study of the Bible with Pastor Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra. During the next 30 minutes, we'll bring you solid, in-depth biblical teaching from Scripture and provide you training in how you can get the most from personal and family Bible study. We invite you to get a copy of today's teaching outline by logging on to tefaith.org. TEfaith is short for Thoroughly Equipped Faith. Again, that's tefaith.org. Now here's Pastor Mike.
Welcome to Thoroughly Equipped. Again in the studio is my son David. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me here today.
Enjoying your summer?
Just busy working, that's all.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're not really having much of a summer. It's work.
Although I am taking a little bit of a break this week.
Oh, that's good. All right. So we are coming to the end of Jonah. It's been a long process. I've enjoyed it. I've learned a lot, and I hope you have too. As we focus in on the last four verses of Jonah, in a minute, I'm going to ask you to read that, David.
Okay.
As we focus in on these four verses, what I want to do is to remind ourselves. One of the things that we're trying to do here is also focus on how to better study our Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to touch on some Bible study methods.
Okay.
And so what I want to do is to remember the overall context of the book. We talked about the idea of a theme of a passage of Scripture or of a book of the Bible. But also, sometimes I think we have a tendency when we're opening our Bible and doing our Bible studies or private devotions that we read just a small portion of the Bible and forget about the bigger picture of the book. And so let's do that real quick. So we have four chapters in Jonah. Jonah chapter 1, God calls Jonah to show compassion by preaching to them, bringing a message to the Ninevites, to his hated enemies. And Jonah rebels against that, runs the other way. God confronts him and disciplines him and saves him from his own rebellion. And he does so in some very extraordinary means through a fish. In chapter 2, we saw Jonah's response to his predicament, and we were amazed to see how well Jonah knew his Bible and was able to pray the Bible back to God, mm-hmm. and to actually a prayer of thanksgiving for deliverance that hadn't yet happened completely. And then in chapter 3, we noted the second chance that God gave Jonah to go and do what God had called him to do. And Jonah obeys this time, praise God. And the result is the salvation, or at least the repentance, of the city of Nineveh, the king, and all the people. And then we saw last week in chapter 4, Jonah's response to the mercy of God was to get angry and to storm off and to pout almost. he's acting like a two-year-old. And God confronts him and asks him, among other things, is it right for you to be angry? And Jonah's response is?
To get up and walk away.
Well, yeah, he says it's right, but he does so by walking away. So now we come to a second time where God confronts him again. Again, God has provided for him this little plant, this kikayom, to deliver him from his misery.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we left off in verse 6. And so, David, go ahead and beginning in verse 7, go ahead and finish reading the chapter.
Okay. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it struck the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did rise, that God appointed a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, Dost thou well to be angry for the plant? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then said the Lord, You had pity on the plant, for which you neither labored, neither made it to grow. And it came up in a night, and perished in a night. And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 120,000 people, who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle?
All right, very good. So we see here, notice the language. There's three things that God does here in this text. One in verse 6, and twice you read in verse 7 and verse 8. And that is, God's compassion upon Jonah includes ordaining a plant. In verse 6, he prepared a plant to deliver him. And then that same word is used again. Now, remember, it was used in chapter 1 concerning the big fish. So it's actually used four times in this book. Mm-hmm. He provides a fish. He provides a plant. And now, in verse 7, and in the morning when it dawned the next day, God, again, prepared, he appointed, a worm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, in verse 8, God appointed or prepared a vehement east wind. And so all four of these things, as I read this, I'm reminded of that song, All Creatures Great and Small, God Made Them All. These great, like the great fish, down to the little plant and the little worm, mm-hmm. God created them and God is using them, but he's using them as a means of chastisement, a spanking, Jonah, if you will. The chastening of the Lord, which, although is painful to Jonah, it's designed for his good. And so, again, we see in verse 7 and 8, the chastisement, or better yet, the compassion of God upon Jonah by bringing difficulties. So, in many ways, like chapter 3, where God brings a message of judgment, mm-hmm. which is actually a message of mercy. So here also we see God's message of chastisement, or this great east wind. It's actually what we would call a Santa Ana wind, a very strong east wind that comes out of the desert and dries everything up. And he's already angry, and now he's really hot. So God uses this negative thing to show mercy unto Jonah. In many ways, as we look at Jonah and Jonah's struggle, one of the things that he's struggling about is his enemies. We talked about that. These are the which are his enemies that he doesn't want saved?
The Ninevites.
Okay. And the Ninevites were people that he hated mm-hmm. because of how they treated his own people,
yeah.
how they would treat him and so on. They were like the Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
They're very, very violent, and even they understand that, right, in chapter 3. And so Jonah's struggle with this, it's not right mm-hmm. for you to show mercy to people that don't deserve it.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about that last
right.
week.
And so in some ways, the book of Jonah is a exposition of the mercy of God as shown in his choosing of people that don't deserve it. And as I think about that, I'm reminded of the book of Romans.
Mm-hmm.
What is the most difficult, at least what some people say, the most difficult chapter in the Bible?
Romans chapter 9, I believe it is.
That's right, Romans chapter 9. And in Romans chapter 9, Paul anticipates this statement, it's not right, while he's speaking about God's compassion and God's sovereign choosing of one person over another. He anticipates the person that is reading or listening to his letter of saying, that's not fair. That's not right.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, and if you want to mm-hmm. turn in your Bibles there, Romans chapter 9, and in verse 14, he says, What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So it is not of him who wills nor him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. And so Paul in Romans chapter 9, I think, goes into and explains that which Jonah is struggling with.
Yeah, I see.
God confronts Jonah, disciplines him, and ultimately I think Romans helps us to understand what Jonah is struggling with and how to understand, how to look at that. So we'll come back to that in a minute. So what does Jonah do? When God confronts him, when God disciplines him through the use of the worm and the east wind, in verse 8 and then again in verse 9, what is his response?
That was better for me to die than to live.
And he says it twice, doesn't he?
Yeah.
What kind of language is that?
One of maniacal suicide.
Okay, it sounds suicidal. It sounds foolish.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably be the best way.
Yeah.
And what's amazing about it is these are Jonah's last words.
Better for me to die
than to live. And that's the last thing that Jonah is recorded as saying in the Bible.
Yeah, and I do well to be angry, even to die.
Yeah, it's okay for me to be so angry that I die being angry. And that's the last words that we're left with Jonah. It's shocking to me. Is that how you would want your those that come after you to think of you as the last thing you ever said is, I want to be dead. I'd rather be dead than to it shocks me. And I think that is part of the message of the book of Jonah, mm-hmm. is Jonah's ending words. Now, what we find here in the text is that God gets the last word,
yeah,
as
he
always does, right? So what is that last word that God speaks to Jonah? What does he talk about?
Well, first he asks, well, is it right for you to be angry for this plant that died? That's the first thing he asks.
Right. So God focuses his attention on the plant. Now, why does he do that? The focus is Nineveh.
Yeah.
But God says, you're angry about the plant. And Jonah says, yeah, I'm angry about the plant. And why does God do that? What's the message in the plant?
Well, basically the idea is that, Jonah, you had pity on the plant. And because you had pity, should I not have pity on Nineveh?
But why did Jonah have pity on the plant?
Because it provided him with shade and all those comforts and everything.
Exactly.
It was to satisfy his selfish desires.
Okay. It met his need.
Yeah.
And so he had compassion on something that met his need. But if it's something that doesn't meet his need, then he has no compassion.
Yeah.
And again, the message of the book of Jonah is primarily to the original audience. Do you lack compassion upon those who you have no use for, those who are your enemies, and so on? The message of the book of Jonah is a rebuke to the original audience. Now, we must also listen, because the word of God is profitable to us. The message of the book of Jonah is to you and to me as well, mm-hmm. and to a listening audience as well. Are we right in taking what God has given us, even his mercy and his compassion, and even his revelation of himself in the Word and the Spirit, and taking those gifts and misusing them by being angry with and hating not only our brother, but hating those that hate us?
Mm-hmm.
That's the natural reaction of man, is to hate those that hate you. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth.
Mm-hmm.
But God is calling us to love our enemy. Jesus taught us that, to love our enemy. And so the book of Jonah almost like a word picture, is an actual events that communicate the call for us as followers of Jesus Christ to love our enemies as ourselves, to do good mm-hmm. to those who hate you,
mm-hmm.
and to pray for those who despise you and persecute you.
Yeah.
And so God shows compassion and God shows mercy, and we define mercy as not getting
what we deserve.
What we deserve. And so we should also, we're called to show forth that mercy to others
yeah.
who don't deserve it.
Yeah, I was just reminded of the passage Reverend Dennis Rowe, when he preached on the mercy of God, he likened mercy as the floodgates that hold back the water of judgment. That God's mercy is like that dam holding back what we do deserve, and that is judgment.
The floodgates of judgment, yeah. And so Jonah was upset because God showed mercy, held back the floodgates. And yet at the same point in time, God shows mercy unto Jonah.
Yeah.
So the whole book, if you will, speaks of the salvation is of the Lord, and how do I respond to God's salvation, not only to myself, but to others? And how concerned am I about others, especially those I don't know and I don't even like, even to the point of those who purposely hurt me? Christ came and was killed by those he came to save. As a matter of fact, again, we, through our sin, killed Christ. Yes.
Yeah, I was just thinking about the passage in Romans chapter 5 where it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then later he says, while we were enemies, Christ died for us. And so Paul, who was speaking to these Gentile and Jewish believers who had never seen Christ, who had never met Christ personally, but we're told that while they were sinners, Christ died for them. While they were enemies, Christ died for them. In the same way, that applies to us, because we never met Christ personally, but yet we know him through his word, and we were his enemies, and he died for us.
Amen. Amen. All right, well, let's go ahead. I've got, again, a couple different developments that I mentioned last week that I want to cover again before I forget. This Tuesday, I will be beginning a biblical Hebrew course. David completed it last year. Oh, actually, this year we finished up the book of Jonah in Hebrew 3, and we're starting over again. And if you are interested in learning to be able to read the Old Testament in the original language, we'll be beginning that course this Tuesday, August 27th, at 7 p.m. at the church. And so, if you have any questions about that, or if you have some interest in it, please call or write us. All right, with that, I think we should wrap up. And I think the best way to do so is, again, to pray and ask for the Lord's blessing to take all that we've covered and put it into our lives. Father in heaven, we do come before you and we thank you, O Lord, for your mercy as shown to Jonah. He was a man called by you to serve you in a very difficult time, just like we are called by you to serve you in a very difficult time. And so we ask, O Lord, that you would enable us to learn, not have to follow or repeat the mistakes of others, to learn from the errors of those that have gone before. We know that your word says that all scripture is profitable, including this, and these things were given to us as examples. And so we thank you, Lord, for your compassion to Jonah, your compassion to the Ninevites, your compassion to the original audience, and your compassion to us, that you have given to us a revelation of yourself and your mercy to us. And we thank you also for the more clarity that we have, more clarity than they, because that compassion is revealed in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we do pray that you would enable us to learn and to continue to grow and to walk in by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
And that is our study today in the Word of God here on Thoroughly Equipped with Pastor Mike Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra. Along with his son, David, Pastor Mike will be back in just a moment with a final thought for the week ahead. First, though, here's a reminder that you can download and print the lesson outline for each week starting on Wednesday by logging on to tefaith.org. That's tefaith.org. Follow along with the outline and keep it in a binder for future reference and study. Also, if you'd like to stay up to date on Thoroughly Equipped events, sign up for our periodic email newsletter, Wells of Salvation. You'll get articles, resource information, a note from Pastor Mike, information about Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, including our address and service times, and news about any upcoming events. It's very informative. To get our email newsletter, just log on to tefaith.org. That's tefaith.org. Or call us at 626-820-9390. That's 626-820-9390. And we thank the members and friends of Rehoboth Reformed Church for their sacrificial giving in order to make this program possible. If you would like to join them in providing this blessing for others by supporting this Bible teaching program, visit our website. Lastly, we invite you to join us for worship and even more study of God's Word every Sunday morning at Rehoboth Reformed Church, located at 501 South Idaho Street, Suite 120 in La Habra, California. For more information or directions, visit our website, tefaith.org, or call us at 626-820-9390. That's 626-820-9390. Now, with a final thought for the week, here's Pastor Mike.
Join us next week as we open the book of Romans, Paul's proclamation of the gospel to those that had not met him, Jew and Gentile alike, in the city of Rome, in the center of the known world of the day. So what did Paul have in mind? He wanted to make sure that they understood the gospel and understood how that worked out in their lives. And so he wrote a letter to prepare for his own visit, where he would teach them and even encourage them more. So join us as we open that book and as we read of the grace of God, of the mercy of God, as it's understood and explained by God's gifted servant.
Thank you for joining us today here on Thoroughly Equipped, Drawing Water from the Wells of Salvation, a weekly verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the Bible with Pastor Michael Wojtek from Rehoboth Reformed Church in La Habra, along with his son David. Next week, we'll continue looking at the Word of God. We hope you'll join us. In the meantime, you can learn more about Thoroughly Equipped by logging on to our website, tefaith.org. And if you'd like to write a note to Pastor Mike, you can email it to pastor@tefaith.org. That's pastor@tefaith.org. Remember, God is your salvation. You can trust Him and not be afraid. The Lord is your strength and your song.